Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Larry Will of Mount Airy, Maryland, and you're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Valentine's Day, February the 14th. It is Valentine's
Absolutely.
Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We thank you for joining us here on our weekly show, 30 minutes of news and information about the world of radio. My name's Sheldon, and the other voice you hear on the other side of the internet out there is Jill, and we are halfway through the month of February. We're going to remind you of the Winterfest coming up in a little bit. To start off with, though, as usual, to reach us, you can do so by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. And our live streaming and archived versions of the show are at our website, ckut.ca. And if you are listening to us live streaming there or on the radio, if you're within range of us, we are on 90.3 FM in Montreal. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome Christian, Mario, and Catherine to the group this week, bringing us to 571 members. We thank all of you for joining. If you haven't joined, please consider it. Lots of good information on the Facebook group page for you. And we invite you to post your own information there for us as well. We unfortunately start off today's show with a sad piece of information. Bob Brown, one of the original members and originators of the Winter SWL Festival, 34 years ago, actually, sadly passed away last night from a number of complications from health issues that he's had over the years. We received the word from his daughter last evening. So we want to pass along our condolences to Gail and the family. I'm going to miss Bob a lot. He was a great guy. Got to know him so well over the years at Winterfest every year. We'll have a little tribute to him at Winterfest this year as well. So very, very sad news to pass along to everyone, hearing of his passing yesterday. Which brings us to the Winterfest, and it is coming up. This is the last chance you have to register for the event. If you want to participate, you have to do so by February the 15th. So it is the 34th annual Winter SWL Festival. It is taking place February 26th and 27th. It will be done over the Zoom platform. The full schedule of events and activities is now posted on the website. It's swlfest.com, swlfest.com. There is a $5 registration fee, which can be paid through PayPal using your PayPal account or a credit card. And remember that you must register by Monday, February the 15th, if you want to participate. And this should be an interesting event. There are some amazing sessions taking place, including a live visit to a de-expedition site out in Washington State on the West Coast. They're going to be linking up via Zoom, and you'll actually see the DX setup that they have out on the beaches in a place called Greylands. So that's going to be pretty neat. We'll also be visiting Mark Fahey down in Australia with his large monitoring post that he has down there. So lots of interesting things that we weren't able to do at a live Winterfest in person, but some things that we've adapted, and John and Richard have put together a really interesting schedule of events. You'll see all of the details on the website, swlfest.com. So please get to it today or tomorrow and register if you want to participate.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
Yep. We got a breaking story out of China that we wanted to talk to you about. It starts off talking about television, but what a great lead-in to radio. So we thought we'd tell you about it.
Absolutely. BBC World News is barred from airing in China. This is by Reuters Newswire. British television channel BBC World News has been barred from airing in China, the National Radio and Television Administration said on Friday. A week after Britain's media regulator revoked Chinese state television's broadcast license. In a statement issued on the stroke of the Lunar New Year, the administration said an investigation found BBC World News China-related reports had seriously violated regulations, including that news should be truthful and fair, had harmed China's national interest and undermined national unity. The channel, therefore, does not meet requirements for foreign channels broadcasting in China, and its application to air for another year will not be accepted, it added. English-language BBC World News is not included in most TV channel packages in China, but is available in some hotels and residences. Two Reuters journalists in China said the channel had gone blank on their screens. The BBC did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So this is a great news item to show us that radio, and shortwave radio in particular, is so important, because anything that is local, anything that is over the internet, can be easily controlled and taken down. And that just reminds us that there is a need for shortwave if you want to have some news and some good news actually going in through areas of the world that often are blocking everything that they deem is contrary to their own regulations and beliefs.
You know, it's a perfect example of, you know, how many times do we repeat that line of, you know, the death of radio, and it's just outdated technology and what have you. Well, now we have the internet and we have TV and we have all these other services. Well, all of those other services have what we call a gatekeeper.
Yep.
And if they flip the switches to the off position, that's it. They're not there anymore. Why did countries like Russia, the old Soviet Union, and China use so much money up in jamming radio signals? Because they needed that many jammers out there to cut down on as many signals as were coming at their countries. Yet they had no way of stopping everything. And people had ways of picking up these broadcasts with very simple, basic, you know, little battery-operated radios. You know, to see that technology disappearing, so many stations being pulled, government shutting down international broadcasters, you look at this and you see a perfect reason why those things should still be there.
Absolutely.
BBC is one of the stations that does still have a lot of broadcasts on the air. So hopefully people will be able to get those news sources through those means. But here we see a perfect example of TV and internet services being stopped from getting into people who probably need them more than anybody else does.
And so, some people actually need to have that outside point of view and news service to help them even sometimes understand what's happening in their own country.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So we'll follow this one, see what happens. Maybe BBC will be adding some new services as a result of their TV being cut off. So, speaking of cuts, we move into some local news here in Montreal. And this is sort of a continuation of some stories that we've had in the last week or two. This time, some more changes at the local news talk radio station here in Montreal, CJAD 800. This comes from Steve Faggy's Fagstein blog. On the heels of recent cuts to its programming, CJAD is reducing its local schedule by an hour a day and merging the shows of afternoon hosts Natasha Hall and Aaron Rand as of Monday. The announcement was made at the beginning of Hall's shows on Wednesday. The two have known each other for years, going back to when Hall did traffic for Rand's morning show on Q92, will co-host a show from 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays. The new show, whose name has not yet been announced, will replace Hall's 2 to 4 p.m. show and Aaron Rand's 4 to 7 p.m. show. Hall said Robin Flynn, currently the producer of Rand's show, will produce the new show, while Brian Koliser, currently of Hall's show, will stay as technical producer. Now, what they'll be doing is the final hour from 6 to 7 p.m., they will be rebroadcasting the CTV Channel 12 Montreal Hour newscast from 6 to 7. And that follows similar moves that Bell did in Toronto CFRB and CFRA in Ottawa, where they also broadcast local CTV newscasts over the radio from television. Meanwhile, morning show host Andrew Carter announced Wednesday that he will be joining the Live at 5 show, which runs from 5 a.m. to 5:30, just before his morning show starts with Trudy Mason and James Foster. The end result of this means that they will be reducing CJD's local original programming down to 11 hours on weekdays from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m., and excluding the Evan Solomon show from noon to 2 p.m. That's much less than it used to be when CJD had local programming right up until 11 p.m. or midnight. So that's not good news for local content on radio. Putting TV onto radio loses a lot as well. If you're watching a TV newscast and you only hear the audio portion of it, you're not seeing any of the background videos and that sort of thing. Obviously, more cost-cutting measures on the part of Bell. And it doesn't stop there. We'll have another story shortly of some more things going on in Canada with Bell. But next, though, we have some more local news about TSN radio in Montreal.
The CRTC is renewing CKGM's TSN 690 license, but it denies a request to reduce local programming via the Canadian Radio News Facebook group. Bell had applied for a condition of license amendment, which would have allowed CKGM 690 in Montreal to reduce the amount of local programming broadcast from 96 hours to 63 hours per week. The CRTC is of the view that reducing CKGM's local programming requirement is not appropriate for several reasons outlined in the decision. The commission renews the broadcasting license for the English language commercial AM station CKGM Montreal from March 1st, 2021 all the way up to August 31st, 2027. The commission denies the licensee's request to amend CKGM's condition of license relating to local programming in order to reduce the amount of local programming broadcast from 96 to 63 hours per broadcast week. And I think it's not a bad decision. I mean, we need as much local news as possible. There's way too many stations today that are getting these feeds from, you know, national feeds, and that does not answer what's happening in a local media. Often it's missing out on a lot of local news, and in this case, maybe a lot of local sports news, when it becomes a little too broad, a little too national.
Yeah, I think, again, this is a Bell-owned radio station, so they were wanting to cut some local content, again, to save some money and probably run some syndicated programming from their TSN network.
Yep.
But what's really interesting here is the next story ties into this one, because at the same time as being told that they couldn't reduce the local programming on Montreal's TSN radio station, they are scrapping totally the all sports formats in Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Hamilton radio stations. Bell's decision to dump an all-sports format at three Canadian radio stations is likely all about profit, said one media industry expert. The company said on Tuesday that TSN 1040 in Vancouver, TSN 1290 in Winnipeg, and TSN 1150 in Hamilton will no longer be all-sports stations. Mark Choma, Bell's director of communications, said in an email that the company is changing formats at the three stations based on our successful approach in other markets. It was a difficult decision, but the realities of the quickly evolving broadcast media landscape in Canada have made the changes unavoidable. The Hamilton station has been rebranded as BNN Bloomberg Radio and will cover business, innovation, technology, and sports. The Vancouver and Winnipeg stations will become all comedy stations, much like the CHAM outlet in Hamilton. Bell has not said how many jobs were cut due to the format changes. Bell still has TSN radio stations in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Edmonton. They started all sports radio in 2011 by making 1050 AM, formerly part of the Team, a TSN radio station, Edmonton, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Vancouver, with two stations, Hamilton and Montreal, were added in ensuing years. The format changes come in the aftermath of layoffs by Bell across multiple platforms last week.
When I saw that story go through, the first thing that I thought is, what is going to happen with CKGM Montreal?
Yeah, it's. I guess they're breathing a sigh of relief at Montreal in that they're being spared. It seems, though, what's happened is that the sports stations that have the contracts to broadcast local sports, such as TSN Montreal, has the Montreal Canadiens broadcast rights. Those stations seem to have survived. The ones that didn't are the ones who aren't tied into major league sports coverage for local teams. So I was reading some of the tweets from some of the people who were out of jobs from these stations. They didn't have a chance to say goodbye or anything. It was literally like, you know, hand in your pass key and clean out your desk and you're gone. And many of these people had been there for, you know, since the beginning. So they were pretty interesting tweets and comments to read from the former broadcasters at these stations. So the unemployment list in Canadian radio is much larger after these recent developments.
Yep, and there's not a lot of places where these people can go. There's less and less choice now.
That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about our sun. What's happening with the sun this week is that it's still quiet condition. Not a lot happening. There's no sunspots as we are recording the show. There was some unsettled conditions in the beginning of the week that we had actually predicted last week in the show. It did affect shortwave a little bit, but then after things settled down, conditions overall is solar minimum, but they're quite good. Lots of signals, lots of interesting things to listen to out there. The solar flux hovering around 70 to 75. There is a coronal mass ejection or a solar wind that could actually be hitting our planet starting today, Sunday, February 14th, coming from a southern coronal hole on the sun. And overall, conditions will be quiet. Let's hope more sunspots will appear in the next few days to help us out. And, of course, the best thing to do is still turn on that radio and listen.
This is Rita Barrett from Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Talking about solar weather, an interesting little article. This is via the ARRL, where they talk about a perfect coronal mass ejection that could be a nightmare. A new study in the research journal Space Weather considers what might happen if a worst-case coronal mass ejection hit Earth, a perfect solar storm, if you will. In 2014, Bruce Tsurutani of Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Gorbax Lakina of the Indian Institute of Geomagnetism introduced the perfect CME. It could create a magnetic storm with intensity up to the saturation limit, a value greater than the Carrington event of 1859, the researchers said. Many other space weather effects would not be limited by saturation effects, however. The interplanetary shock would arrive at Earth within 12 hours. The shock impingement into the magnetosphere would create a sudden impulse of around 234 nanoteslas, and the magnetic pulse duration in the magnetosphere would be about 22 seconds. Orbiting satellites would be exposed to extreme levels of flare and interplanetary shock accelerated particle radiation, they said. The event would follow an initial CME that would clear the path in front of it, allowing the storm cloud to hit Earth with maximum force. The Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, SOHO, has observed CMEs leaving the Sun at speeds up to 3,000 kilometers per second, and many instances of one CME clearing the way for another have been recorded. The CME's 12-hour travel time would allow little margin for preparation. The CME would hit Earth's magnetosphere at 45 times the local speed of sound, and the resulting geomagnetic storm could be as much as twice as strong as the Carrington event. power grids, GPS, and other services could experience significant outages. More recent research led by physicist Dan Welling of the University of Texas at Arlington took a fresh look at Suritani's and Lakina's perfect CME, and given improvements in space weather modeling, he was able to reach new conclusions. Welling's team found that geomagnetic disturbances in response to a perfect CME could be 10 times stronger than what the team had calculated, especially at latitudes above 45 to 50 degrees. Our results exceed values observed during many past extreme events, including the March 89 storm that brought down the Hydro-Quebec power grid in eastern Canada, the May 1921 railroad storm, and the Carrington event itself, Welling summarized. A key result of the new study is how the CME would distort and compress Earth's magnetosphere. The strike would push the magnetopause down until it's only 2 Earth radii above Earth's surface. Satellites in Earth orbit would suddenly find themselves exposed to a hail of energetic and potentially damaging charged particles. Other research has indicated that phenomena such as the Carrington event may not be as rare as once thought. A much weaker magnetic storm brought down the Canadian Hydro-Quebec system in 1989. Scientists believe a perfect CME will happen someday. As Welling et al. Conclude, further exploring and preparing for such extreme activity is important to mitigate space weather-related catastrophes. In July 2012, NASA and European spacecraft watched an extreme solar storm erupt from the sun and narrowly miss Earth. If it had hit, we would still be picking up the pieces, says Daniel Baker of the University of Colorado at a NOAA Space Weather Workshop 2 years later. It might have been stronger than the Carrington event itself. So scary stuff. The sun, that we often talk about in radio propagation and feel that it's nice to have these solar cycles and solar activity, but sometimes it can really get to an extreme point, and we got to really take care and learn more about that, because this can hit the power grids and have devastating effects all over the place.
Well, if you look at Carrington event going back to the 1800s, if this happened today with the technology that we have, with how things work, our wireless world, I've seen reports where they've estimated the equivalent of practically going back to the Stone Age.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be unbelievable to try to recover from anything like that. Certainly in the Carrington event, we weren't relying on that sort of technology that we rely on today. So the impact maybe wasn't as severe as it would be if it happened today. So as you said, pretty scary stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's bring it back to Earth and settle everybody down a little bit.
Yes.
Because trust me, you won't know when this is coming. You might get a little bit of a warning, but when it hits, boy, it's going to hit fast.
Absolutely.
So anyways, people are using some radios, though, for some pretty interesting things these days. And these two stories are related. The first one comes from the Anchorage Daily News via Radio World. COVID Radio is a short-term radio station now playing on 95.9 FM in the Change Point Alaska Church parking lot on Raspberry Road, home to one of the most popular testing sites in the city. The station broadcasts from a low-power transmitter plugged into the testing staff's trailer. Any car radio within roughly 200 feet can tune in Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. As drivers roll through the testing line, they can hear local music and messaging on the station curated for them. I think this would be great if it just made people smile unexpectedly, said Megan Holton, who coordinated the station. Holton involved a wide range of contributors into COVID radio, from a local ska band to members of the school board. The station plays everything from H3's Hawaii-rooted reggae, mariachi horns of Agave Azul, to the West High Jazz Band. Tucked between the tracks from Alaska bands like Medium Build and The Forest That Never Sleeps are conversations with medical professionals, interviews with testing staff, and advice on how to talk to friends and family if you test positive for the coronavirus. So they've involved some local musicians in this as well to produce special music for the station. The lines are quite long, and they thought, well, people are sitting in their cars waiting to go in to be tested. Why not give them something interesting and somewhat related and maybe a little bit relaxing as well while they're waiting to go in and be tested? Using 95.9 with a low-powered FM transmitter to do so is a pretty neat initiative to start up in that area in Anchorage. And in a somewhat related story, similar operation going on. This one comes from Chloe Miller in the Western Michigan University Public Radio Service. Micro radio stations assist COVID vaccinations. In a related story to our previous one, local health officials around the country are using an old technology, here we go again, to help vaccine people against COVID-19. To vaccinate people, actually. They're setting up low-powered AM radio station transmitters made by a West Michigan company. Information station specialist President Bill Baker said the mini radio stations provide instructions to those waiting in line to get the vaccine. These stations are broadcasting on 1670 kilohertz AM in the region. People arrive and they don't know what to do necessarily. It's a lot to put on a sign for people to read because there are various instructions. In some parts of the country, they're calling different parties to come in for the vaccination at a given time to listening. So they're sort of using the radio systems as a paging system. Baker said the Zealand-based company's transmitters are a good addition to other sources of information about getting inoculated against the coronavirus. And Baker said the low-powered radio broadcasters aren't only used for COVID-19 vaccination sites. They're being used for big food giveaway programs where counties and charities are giving away food and other household products in different parts of the country. Same idea, people are pulling in their cars, and of course everybody knows they're being used for church services, school graduations, and these types of things as well. The vaccine being the most recent application. Baker says his company's radio systems are also used to alert motorists about road problems at disaster sites and to provide information to tourists. We know these stations as traveler information stations,
absolutely.
TISs. The only thing here is you need an AM radio that gets the X band. That's from 1600 up to 1700.
Yeah.
Some radios may not have that extension on the band.
You have to have one of those newer radios.
But a great purpose for using, as they say, the old technology of AM radio for special purposes like this. Time to talk about two ham radio contests coming up this next weekend.
Cool.
And the first one is for CW people, the ARRL International DX Contest. It's sponsored by the American Radio Relay League. 0-100 February 20th to 23-59 February 21st. Its objective is to encourage American and Canadian hams to expand knowledge of DX propagation. Hmm. That's a good thing to do.
Absolutely.
To improve their operating skills and to improve station capability by creating a competition in which DX stations may only contact U.S. and Canadian stations. It will run 160 through 10 meters, no work bands, and it is CW only. So that's an interesting event.
Yep.
And a short event coming up from the Flying Pigs QRP Club International. When I saw the name of the contest, I didn't know what this was. Run for the Bacon QRP Contest. 2300 Zulu February 21st to 0100 February 22nd. So only 2 hours. The object, to work CW stations only once per band. On 60, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meter bands. They suggest that you work the high frequency bands first, then work your way down to the 80 and 160 meter bands. Squeeze in as much as you can in 2 hours, yep. I guess, is what they're looking for.
Pretty much.
So we'll put the links up for both of these. You can go and see about all the rules and regulations that are involved and how to score your results and what have you. So. Have some fun with those. They are both CW events coming up next weekend.
Cool.
I guess that does it, though. We have squeezed in 30 minutes of as much information as we can. We thank you all for listening. We will do it all again next week. If you have any comments or questions, reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com, or go to our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we hope you're enjoying Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you next Sunday on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
The simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask, and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
How do you face with sunshine? Put on a great big smile. Make up your eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Bloom never was in style.